You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Now, we're going to continue today. So you got your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 7. They're familiar passages, verses, but we're going to kind of dive into them a little bit more this morning as we continue our Way of Wisdom series that will take us through August. And keep your finger here because we'll be coming back. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. We're going to be talking from that verse, those verses this morning, particularly two areas. What's it look like to seek the Lord, and what's it look like to fear Him? And we'll do that in just a few moments. It was Paul Tripp, and he's an author that I follow, said this: if you're God's child, that is, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're not left to your own wisdom. How many think that's a good place to say amen? Amen, right? But blessed with the stunning wisdom of the one who created and controls it all. If you're a Jesus follower, we're not left on our own to make it through life. We're not left to kind of wonder which way we should go. The Bible says that Jesus will clearly show us which path to take, which way to go. We're blessed with the stunning wisdom of the one who created and controls it all. That's the place that we sit today if you're a Jesus follower. Now, we've also talked about and shared with you from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, that there's a path, the Bible says, before us, that there's a path that seems right before each person, but it ends in death, you know. And I kind of got this picture to kind of illustrate this path that seems right to us. And how many have ever seen anything like this? You know, people who are just kind of like doing whatever, it just seems right. And when I saw the picture, I noticed a guy on the left, I don't think has an arm. I don't know if that has anything to do with the snake thing or not. But there's a path that to every person, before each person, that seems right, but in the end, it's just the wrong path. And so we've been talking about what's it look like for a Jesus follower to walk not in our own pathway, but to follow the wisdom ways of Jesus. So here's what we've talked about. I'll give you a 15-second review, okay, over the last 5 weeks. And then if you want to, if you missed some of the teaching, you can go online to gatewayfellowship.com and you'll find them there. But we talked about that the way of wisdom begins with God, not Google. It's paid by faith. It's paid by godly counsel, people who will speak into our lives. It's paid by preparation, waiting, and listening. And many of us have been practicing those things. And it's paid by confidence in God. That's what we talked about last week. Today, the big idea is this, and here's what I'd like for you to think about as we kind of talk through this morning and even take home with you. The way of wisdom is paved by our view of God. The way of wisdom, walking in His wisdom ways, is paved by our view of God. Now, here's why I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you to tell me how big God is, the creator of the universe and all this. Here's what I'm asking. What is your view of God in your life as you walk in His wisdom ways? What's your view of God? And how is it that that view is lived out? Now, at the conclusion of Job, and that's where we are today, Job just declares this. It's really his view of God. It's what he's come through in all of life. And we know the trials and the sufferings that have been a part of his life. But here's what Job concludes with, and it's his view of God. He says, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. I know, God, you can do anything. No one can stop you. That was Job's view. That's Job's view of God. What's your view of God? The way of wisdom is paved by your view of God. Walking in the way of wisdom is realized by two commitments. That's what we're talking about today. Seeking Him and fearing Him. So before we get to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 7, you might want to circle those words, seek and fear. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Here's my goal. That all of us would grow individually in our view of God. That as a faith community, we would grow together in our view of God. What would it look like in our community here, in Paulsbo, and in our region, and in the parts of the world where Jesus has called us to, Africa, and to India, and Spain? What would it look like if our view was Job's view? God, there's nothing that you can't do. And we live that out in our life. What would it look like in this community? What would it look like in your world where you live out your life, in your workplace or in your home? God, you can do anything. Nothing can stop you. If that was your view of God, how would you live out your life? Now, I have a number of boxes around my house. I kind of like boxes because I like to kind of store things in particular areas. I have a box in my office that was created by my granddaughter and given to me as a gift. And so I have a number of things that I put in there on an ongoing regular basis. I have a box at home that's my key box. And so I never lose my car keys. You're laughing like you don't believe me, right? I never lose my car keys because I think I've been trained by my wife. I walk in the house and I open up this box where I put my car keys. I put my wallet and my keys in there. And so when I need them, they're there. And now there are certain staff here who know a story that I'm going to tell you in just a few moments about car keys. And they're going, sure, right, tell the truth, Tom. I'm going to tell you that in just a moment. But I have boxes all around. At times, our view of God can be illustrated with a box. Just think about it for just a moment. I got boxes here. Sometimes our view of God is illustrated by a box. That is God. And we can kind of hold on to it, and it's not too heavy. We can get our arms around it. Think about that for just a moment. Last week, I think it was Wednesday, I'd come to my office, and then I went home for lunch. I brought my car back. I drove my car back, and I parked it out here, and I came in and finished out the day. Jen had stopped by the office earlier in the day to pick up a few things, and then went home. And when I went to grab my car keys, and they were gone. I mean, I will tell you, I looked everywhere for my keys. Now, I went home, I figured I locked them in the car, and I've done that before. I locked them in the car, got another set of keys, and went back to my car, opened up the car, and no keys. And so I went into my office, no keys. I did spend about 30 minutes or so. I went home. We were going to prepare dinner. Jen says, you want to go back and look for them before we eat dinner? Yes, I do. They're not in my box. And so we came back, and honestly, we spent about an hour and a half looking for my keys. I went through my office. I went through every drawer. I found stuff in my office I haven't seen for years. That's how, how'd that get there? You know, that's how hard we looked. And I went out in the parking lot and I, rewalked the pathway that I walked in, and they were completely gone. Finally, I sent a note out to the staff. Because I figured, one of the staff took them accidentally. And so could you return my keys? And got home. And we had eaten dinner, and I'm walking through the house, and honestly, I did what I probably should have done like 2 hours beforehand. So I was walking through my living room, I prayed this prayer: Jesus, would you just tell me where my car keys are? I will tell you, when I prayed that prayer, instantly, this thought dropped into my mind: Jen's purse. The great abyss. No, I take that back. Okay. She'd be at the 11 o'clock gathering. So, okay. I went into where she keeps her purse, and I opened up the place where she puts her keys, and I reached in there, and guess what I found? My keys. See, she had come over earlier in the day, and they gathered up some stuff and just happened to gather up my keys and threw them in a purse. And that's where they were. Let me ask you a question. Here's what it sometimes looks like. I can trust Jesus for my keys. Man, but when it comes to my finances, I don't know. And some of us are sitting in that place right now. I can trust him with my keys. But maybe when it comes to relationships that are all messed up right now, what's your view of God? I can trust him with a little thing like keys, because that's really not a really big deal. But how about my job? How about my spouse? And some of you think, I'll put my spouse in that box. Don't you think that? Don't you go there. I can trust it with my keys, but what about my spouse? What's your view of God? Is it like Job? God, there's nothing that you can't do. Or is it limited by your view? Think about that for just a moment. You see, our view of God will either hinder our walk with Him, or it will help our walk with Him as we walk in His wisdom ways. What's it look like? Is it limited more like a box, or is it Job's view? It says, God, you can do anything. In the place where I sit right now today, God, you can do absolutely anything in my life. Now, some of us put God in a box without even realizing it. And here's what we do. We kind of go to God when we lose our keys. And then we put them back on the shelf. While I was writing this teaching this morning, it was actually on Monday last week. And during that time, my son, my youngest son, who has absolutely no idea about mechanical things at all. He truly doesn't. He's a good kid, but he knows nothing about mechanical things, computers, nothing. So he's calling a lot. So he calls me. I'm working through the teaching for today, and he calls me, and he says, Dad, my toilet's leaking. I can't get to stop. What do I need to do? So we kind of walk through all that, do this. I mean, about three or four calls, he does all that. It's still leaking. And honestly, he's calling me, and I'm working through this wisdom teaching, and I almost say to him, but I don't, have you prayed for God's wisdom for this? That's all I wanted to say, but finally I said, look, okay, I'm almost done. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Why don't I come on over? And so he said, great, I'll pick you up on the 310 ferry. He lives over in Lake Stevens. And so I was on my way to the ferry, about halfway there, when he calls, and he says, never mind, you don't have to come. It's stopped leaking. I got it fixed. So you can turn around and go home. Now, Jeff and I have a really good relationship. I want you to know that. We spend a lot of time together with my other son. But when he said that, I thought, I kind of wonder if that's sometimes our view of God that we kind of fall into. God, I need you. I lost my keys. But when we find the keys, He's in a box, and we've kind of put him back there. God, I need you now for this, but when I realize this or when I'm past this, then kind of put you back. He's in a box, and we can manage the box because we can get our arms around it. And the box means we can, like, understand some things. What's it look like in your life? Tozer said this, and he's a great author. Many of you are readers of Tozer. He says, Christianity at any given time is strong or weak, depending on her concept of God. And I insist upon this, and I have said it many times, that the basic trouble with the church today is her unworthy concept of God. Man, that's a powerful statement. Listen, because the church, that's you, that's me. The basic trouble with the church today, with all that's going on, is our unworthy concept of God. What's our view of God? Is it like Job? God, you can do anything. No one can stop you. Or have we limited God by our own seeking to understand, desiring to know all that's going on? Could it be that our main struggle with walking in God's wisdom ways has more to do with our view of Him? Is it possible that the main struggle to walk in His wisdom ways isn't really a cultural one, or what's going on in the world today? And some of us look at those things and at those events, and we do so through a wrong view of God and who He is and what He can accomplish. But it's an internal one that hinders us from completely understanding who He is and trusting in His ability to lead us daily, that is, walking in His wisdom ways. That's what we're talking about. What's your view of God? Could it be that our view of God, or our concept of God, using Tozer's word, is limited or in a box, and therefore we struggle with trusting Him in all of life? You see, if your God lives in a box, you will struggle with walking in His wisdom ways in all of life because your God just isn't big enough to handle it all or to help you. What's your view of God or your concept of him? The church will never, that's you, that's me, that's his faith community. We will never be more dynamic, more life-changing than our view of God and how we live out that view of God. That's what we're talking about in this series, walking in his wisdom ways. How do we view him? Now, Proverbs chapter 3, let's go back to there. And I ask you to circle a couple words there. Seek and fear will be there in just a moment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Come back to that in a moment. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Walking in his wisdom ways. That is having the view of God. It says, God, you can do anything. Nothing can stop you. Is built on these two commitments, to seek him and to fear him. We'll talk about those two words in a moment. Trusting in the Lord wholeheartedly means that we just don't rely at all on our own understanding, because we know that human insights, our wisdom, simply is not enough. We don't know what happens today or tomorrow or the next day. Our wisdom is not enough. God is trustworthy, and we can never acquire enough wisdom to take us through all of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Heart in Hebrew refers to one's emotions, but it goes beyond that. It's our intellect, it's our understanding, it's our discernment, it's our reflection, or it's our will. It's all of our life. Trust in the Lord with all of your life. And as we do, as we trust in him and as we acknowledge him in all ways, he makes our path straight. That is, he will take us to that appointed goal in our life, regardless of the problems and challenges that we face, because they're placed in perspective. We're trusting him with all of our life, our intellect, our will, our emotions. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But then he says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take, and fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So let's talk about those two words for just a moment. Seek him in all you do. Seek his will. That is, our view of God is so big, it's consistent with who he is. Seek his will in everything, in all that you do, and trust him with all of your life to show you which way to go. Now, some of us are looking for wisdom and for direction right now today. Some of us, you know, life's going really well. Some of us really need that wisdom and direction at this moment today for something specific. Seek his will in all you do. Now, I told you my goal this morning was that all of us would have a much expanded view of God. And not really a bigger box. You see, let's get rid of the box altogether, because God can't be contained in a box. So let's get rid of it completely and see God for who he is. Let's commit ourselves as individuals, as a faith community, to seek his wisdom and his ways and allow him to lead all of us in the path that we're to take. Let's seek him in all we do. The way of wisdom, our view of God, of who he is built on these two commitments, that we seek him in all of life and that we fear him. Now, flip to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 33. And again, verse 33 is one that perhaps you've memorized, Matthew 6, 33. And we've memorized it from different versions. Here's out of the NLT version, being verse number 25. That is why I taught you, I would tell you, not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Now, by the way, I'll just give you right up front. I think what Jesus is teaching about here is priorities, okay? It's what's being taught. And then he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? We'll talk about that. And why worry about your clothing? Look at all the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Why do you place your need for clothing at a top priority? Why do you worry about that? What about other things in life? Why do you place those way up here? Verse number 30, if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So, he says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. And then here's verse number 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. It's a matter of priorities. And live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. When we worry, we take the things, these things, and place them in a box that we can manage, that we can kind of hold on to, that we can understand. And Jesus says, you do that, you got messed up priorities. Seek the kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Seek God. Seek who he is. Don't give way to those things that keep trying to pull you away. See, Jesus knew that there would be those things in life that we would try to fix, that we would try to understand. Don't do that. Seek the kingdom above all else. You see, one's attitude toward wealth, Jesus is using it as an example, is a barometer of righteousness. The Pharisees had this problem because here it is, their spiritual eyes were diseased. They saw things wrongly. With their eyes, they were coveting money and wealth. They were in spiritual darkness. They were slaves to this master of greed. And Jesus says, look, seek his kingdom and his righteousness above all else. God and money is a translation for wealth or prosperity. It can slip into our lives today. Funny how that works. And suddenly it becomes the focus. And we begin to worry about those things. And we worry about those things. We place them in a box that we can manage. Jesus says, your priorities are all whacked out. They're all messed up. Jesus goes on to say, don't worry about these things. You see, the problem here is the Pharisees, in their pursuit of material things, had never learned to live by faith. And we talked about it a few weeks ago that the way of wisdom is paid by faith. They had never learned that. Jesus says, seek the kingdom. Be concerned about the things of God, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and then all these needs will be supplied to you in God's timing. Now, here's what I think happens when we seek his kingdom. Sometimes we take a look at that verse and we read it this way. If I just seek God and if I seek his kingdom and his righteousness, I'll get everything I want. And everything I need according to my own desires. And that's not what's being said there. Here's what I think happens. When we seek his kingdom, when we seek his righteousness, what begins to happen is our priorities begin to shift. And they come in alignment with God's priorities for our life and for his purpose and for his will to be worked out in our life. And he will supply all that we need to carry out his purposes in us and through us. That's what I think is teaching here. It's a matter of priorities. Worrying shows that we have little faith. God, here you are. Worrying will always cause us to walk in our own ways rather than God's wisdom ways. It always will. Paul Tripp, again, he says, it's good to know that Jesus is wisdom because you and I were not designed to figure it all out by our own research and experience. And if you're trying to figure out by your own research and by your own experience, I just got a really good godly word for you. Stop. Stop. Begin seeking his kingdom. Begin seeking his righteousness. And suddenly what we begin to see, I know, is our view of God suddenly begins to look like Job's view of God. God, there, I know you can do anything. Nothing can stop you. Seek him. Second word that I invite you to circle is this whole word of fear. Let's talk about fear for just a moment for the next few minutes. Fear him. You know, we associate that word fear with what? Being afraid, being scared, right? So some of us are fearful to go to the doctor. Some of us are fearful to go, like, to the dentist, you know. You saw the snake picture at the front there. My wife is, you know, fearful. She hates snakes, and maybe that's you. Spiders, you know. I hate spiders. All spiders go to hell. That's my thing right there. So, you know. Amen. I got it. Proverbs 1:7 says this: Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what's fear? Well, that word in our modern vernacular has been replaced, when it's used in context by Solomon, with this: reverence, awe, and great respect. So seek the Lord, fear the Lord, have awe, reverence, and great respect of the Lord. What the writer of this book, what Solomon is saying, is that we are to have a deep reverence and respect for the Lord. We stand in awe of Him because our God can do anything. Nothing can stop you. That's to be our view of Jesus, our view of God. What's it mean then to fear the Lord? It just simply means that He's the creator. We recognize that. We're the created. He's the master. We're the servants. He's the Father, and we're the children. And we stand in awe that God the Father would send His Son to die for you and for me. Genuine fear of the Lord is always seen. It's always seen in obedience to the Word of God, walking in His wisdom ways. Oswald Chambers: the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God or you stand in awe of Him, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. The remarkable thing about standing in awe of God or in reverence of God is that you fear nothing else. But if we don't, we fear everything else because that view of God puts Him in a box. Seek Him and fear Him. After Job is silent, after all the words in the previous chapter, there's not another word recorded. But we read what happened to his life. Job chapter 42, verse 10. It says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with him in his home, and they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and his grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, full life. You see, Job's view of God: my God can do anything. Nothing can stop Him. What's your view of God today? The way of wisdom is paid by our view of God and built on 2 commitments: to seek Him and to fear Him. Do you seek Him and His ways in all that you do, or do you find taking Him off the shelf is something maybe you've fallen into a pattern of? Do you fear Him? Do you stand in awe of Him? Let me ask you some questions, and we're going to pray. How big is your God? How big is your view of God? Have you kind of boxed Him in? Or is it like Job? God, you can do anything. Are we seeking Him in everything that we do? What area of your life do we kind of need to tear the sides away today? Where do you find yourself? This past week, I read from 1 Kings these words, Solomon. He says, but will God really live on earth? Why, even the highest heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? How much less this box? How much less this temple? Nothing can contain God. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to invite you. Some of us, our view of God is, you got to, yeah, my keys, no problem. But finances, relationships, maybe a spouse, maybe a job, other things that you would write on that box. God, my view of what you can do in this area has been limited. But today, I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to stand in awe of what you're going to do. Father, I would just pray that, God, you would speak to each of our hearts, that we make that commitment this morning to seek you in all that we do, in all ways, in all of life, and we would find our priorities coming in alignment with your priorities, and we would live that out in our life. God, some of us, we've had this view that, God, my finances or my relationships or my job or some other area, God, we're just not really sure. God, would you just allow us to just have that view of who you are and stand in awe of who you are? That like Job, we would walk out of this place saying, hey, look, there's nothing that, God, you can't do. And that's how I'm going to live my life as I walk in your wisdom ways. Jesus, I pray for that. And some of you here today, maybe you'll just make a brand new commitment. God, I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to stand in awe of you. And we make that commitment to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.